yeah, so last week was fun. We talked about target practice and, you know, anybody have any experiences during the week that kind of illustrated that?
I got an experience.
You did?
It wasn't last week. It was 2 weeks ago when we left here. I went to get dinner, and I was going to go to a Chinese restaurant by where I live, but the Holy Spirit said to go to Lynn's Garden, which is right around the corner. So I go inside there, and inside there, there's this homeless man that's in there, and he's drunk as a skunk, drunk out of his mind. So I order my food, and I go in there, I start talking to him, and I ask him, you know, how he's doing, and, you know, he was mumbling, he was telling me how expensive his medicine was for his pancreas, and so I said to him, I said, you know, I said, can I pray for you? So I believe God heals. So I take his hand, and I start praying for him, and the pain that he has starts going away. Mm. Pain starts going down, and as the pain goes down, he starts telling me he has arthritis. So I take his hand, I start cursing the arthritis, and I start cursing it in Jesus' name. And he tells me that his fingers start tingling.
Gosh.
I said, that's the power of God healing you.
Oh,
and so I told him, I said, I want you to remember that. Remember that God loves you and that God heals you. And as I'm telling him this, the joy of the Lord starts coming out. He starts laughing.
Wow.
And let me tell you, this guy is drunk out of his mind.
Oh.
He's got his liquor there, he's drinking, and he's still eating there, but the joy of the Lord came on him. And, you know, I started talking to him, and we were talking about faith in God and things. I told him, I said, it doesn't matter what your God is, what's this. I said, just know that God loves you and that God healed you tonight. And then I walked out of the restaurant.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. Anybody else say something that relates to that?
Yeah. This last week, Jermaine got a call from an aunt saying that it was time to just come and pay respects to his grandmother. And she's like 86 years old, and she has asthma and was just in the hospital in and out. And so it just didn't feel right. I know, you know, she's older and everything, but it just didn't feel like right. So I said, you know what, we're going to just respectfully reject this and just, you know, pray otherwise. Mm-hmm. And not praying against her will, because we didn't know at that point whether she was ready to go or what.
Right.
But we just declared that she won't go until she's good and ready. And when she does go, she does not have to go broke down.
Come on.
You know, just like one leg, you know, just
absolutely
bust it. You know, she don't have to go like that.
Mm.
And so we took a trip down on Wednesday, and they ended up putting in a pacemaker. And when we went to see her, if you didn't just see the, you know, the scarring and all from the surgery, you would not have known that she had been in surgery at all.
Uh-huh.
She was just this chipper, and finally she's telling everybody, we're all there, grands and great-grands, and she is telling the nurses, come see my grandchildren.
Yeah.
And it was just the sweetest, cutest thing ever. And she's about to get out of the hospital now. And everything is great. And she, we were able while there, well, before we left, I asked the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, this is going to be my first time, like, with knowing that we're prophetic now, knowing that. And if you give us opportunities, we're going to take them.
Amen.
Left and right. Different family members and all.
Glory
grown men, like, walking off
hallelujah
crying.
Wow.
And
nice.
Even, yes, and granny. It was so sweet, because I'm telling her and one aunt about it, and she was like, well, can you do me? And I said, yeah, of course. So, the first word God gave me for granny was, with long life will I satisfy.
There you go.
And I was just like, oh,
nice.
Just wonderful.
That's beautiful.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Love it. Oh, that's so
you
good.
You should get a journal book and write
some
I will. And this isn't a praise report, but I'm going to people, I can't be in anything but faith at this point. And today I learned that the doctors have come to the end of their resources with regards to my sister on my dad's side. Mm-hmm. I'm the only child on my mom's side, but my dad's side, I'm the baby of six. Wow. And my sister, who just turned 40 in September, has been dealing with cancer for like 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And they're saying now that all they can do is just make her comfortable. And I'm like, project that too.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah. Good. Yep. When they give up, God just begins.
Yes, that's right? Exactly what I feel. And I ask Holy Spirit, how am I to pray for her?
Yeah.
And he reminded me of what he told me, and I don't know, some of you know Evelyn that was works with Anna with One Voice.
Yeah.
He had told the two of us on different occasions to just thank him and praise him for her healing.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're doing.
Good. Yeah. That's all. It's amazing. Cool.
I want to share really quick that the target for me is Monica, because the Lord told me to call her and invite her, text her, and invite her, invite Monica to come out, because Monica's ready to come out.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, nice. So I text Monica.
And lo and behold, there she is.
And so she said yes. I was like, yes. So I thank God that she did come out.
That's a field to be God's target.
Can't complain.
No, right?
It feels light, very light.
Yeah.
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 I feel a breeze.
It's always good for me.
I do. I feel a breeze. Like I feel a breeze every time I even think about it. I get that breeze. Like I get like.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's like okay.
Goosebumps.
Yeah. Yeah. That's about it, you know. So it's like okay, I know he's around. So.
Yeah, he is. Never leave. That's awesome. Cool. Good stuff. Yeah. So of course for me, the whole week I'm sitting in at home sick. So I was like, I'm not going anywhere. So my target was getting healed. Right? Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, and also speaking of the prophetic, you know, this coming Saturday is the basic training in the prophetic. So if you know anybody that you think would be interested, I know you guys will be with us. And so anybody that you know be interested in that. Saturday at 10 o'clock, right here. So that'll be fun. We always have a great time. Right? Jackie and Rose have been through it. Law's been through it. Mm-hmm. Y'all survived.
That was my first eye-opener.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I was so excited.
An experience like never.
Yeah, it's fun. Cool. Yeah. So I wanted to share a little bit with you tonight, if it's okay, talk a little bit about another amazing story of Jesus out of John chapter 2 this time. We were in John 5 last week. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this this story of the water turning into wine, right? It's just an amazing story. And I think it will help us. Whoa, what the heck is that? My phone is... I was about to say it's possessed, but no, it's not. Jesus' name.
It was the Holy Spirit. It was Siri, wasn't it?
It might have been, yeah.
I heard Siri.
You heard Siri?
I heard her buzz.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, this is not an iPhone, so it's whatever the Google
voice. She's supernatural.
So. She really? Wow. Is that why Apple sells so many of those phones?
Wow.
All right, John chapter 2. Turn in your apps, as I said last time. So on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were six stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, to the servants, "Fill the water pots with water." So they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine. but you have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. It's kind of an interesting story, right? I mean, if it wasn't in the Bible, you know what I mean? That Jesus would turn water into wine. That is one of the most unusual miracles that you're ever going to find, right? But what I love about it is it illustrates the creativity and the no limits that God operates in. You know, that he would do that, that he would look at that and go, yeah, no problem. I'm going to make the best vintage you ever tasted, right? Amazing stuff. So, and of course, I heard Joseph Garlington talk on this one time. And he said, you know why they ran out of wine, don't you?
Why?
Because Jesus and his 12 guys showed up. So, and I don't doubt it, right? I mean, it says they were invited. But think about it, you know? You got these burly fishermen and other guys coming in. Right? Have you ever done that? Have you ever had that situation where you plan a party and either more people show up or they're more hungry than you thought, and you're halfway through and you're like, where's the food? You know, it's... That's embarrassing, right?
Embarrassing.
It really is. So I suspect that Mary knew this family, you know, and that's kind of why Jesus and his disciples were invited. They probably would not have been if it wasn't for Mary, right? Mm-hmm. So you get the idea that maybe she knew this family. And so when the wine runs out and she knows it's because...
Yeah.
Jesus and the disciples, probably disciples, you know, have been bending back all afternoon. <right? laughs> And she, you know, she goes to him and says, they have no wine now. They're out of wine. You know? And you know, Jesus' response to her, you know, it's respectful, but yet it's like, and what does that have to do with me? Mm-hmm. Right? It's like, you're telling me this why, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he says, look, I'm sorry, but it's not my time, right? Jesus is going out of what he said later on where he talks about, I do what I see the mm-hmm. Father yeah. doing, and yeah. I say what I hear him saying, right? Mm-hmm. So clearly, he hadn't heard a thing from Father about mm-hmm. the wine situation. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, sorry, they're out of wine, but it's really not my problem. You know, it's not my hour for doing stuff. So, you know, that's the response. But what about Mary? Isn't there a movie called that? No.
Yeah.
There's
something about Mary.
Oh, so yeah. Yeah, there's something about Mary.
It was bad.
This woman. What's that?
It was bad.
It was bad. Okay. Well, I will confess, I never saw it. Right. Okay. So, but Mary, clearly, right? She's not taking no for an answer.
That's right.
Right? So, she knows she can't make Jesus do anything, but she figures, you know what? I'm gonna set this up. Right? Tells the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Now, think about that with me for a minute. What is she really doing by speaking to the servants?
She's proclaiming who he is. She knows who he is.
Okay. And without actually saying it.
Without actually saying it. Yeah. She says, I know who he is.
Right.
And whatever he can do whatever he wants, and he's going to do it.
Yeah.
She had faith that he was going to work a miracle.
Exactly. So, what in her speaking to these servants, right, what was she doing that kind of open the door for a miracle?
She was operating in faith, first of all.
Operating in faith, right? But faith without works is dead. Okay? So Mary, in speaking to the servants, right, She created an atmosphere of faith that God found irresistible.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lord is attracted to faith. The faith that we act out, that we do something with. He's attracted. How do I know? Because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when we do something in faith to prepare for a miracle, He takes notice. And when Mary did that, do you realize the outcome was that she, her faith altered the timeline for Jesus' ministry in that place. Because He wasn't going to do a thing, because it wasn't on the agenda, as far as He knew, from the Father. But when the Father saw Mary take steps of faith, now what does this mean for us? Well, think about it. How can we make preparation for, how can we take steps that show God, I'm ready. You know, I don't know what your timing is, but I'm ready for what I believe you can do and you want to do. Right? How do we do that today? Let's take that and bring it into the now. Can you think of any? And the holy hush falls upon them.
I think it depends on the situation.
It does, know? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, because it's going to look different in different situations, what your actions will be.
Right.
You know, to show that you are in faith.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. I believe that. Absolutely.
Like different occasions and all.
Yeah. So, you know, as an example, if you're believing God to heal somebody, right, and this is a person who, for whatever reason, they're not coming out to get healed, which is, you know, because there's an opportunity for that, right? What steps can you take that will help that person begin to be positioned so that they will get healed? See, that's the question. We begin to ask questions like that. Okay, God, what do I do, right, that will build an atmosphere of faith in that person's life that will so attract your presence that they're going to get healed? Okay? And here's the reason why. A lot of Christians don't get healed because they have so much unbelief operating in them. So much doubt about, you know, whether God is going to heal them.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I know God can heal. I just don't know if He wants to heal me.
Yeah.
Right? So working with somebody like that, right, where now I want to build an atmosphere of faith around them. Okay? And like you say, it's going to depend on the circumstances. I'm just trying to give you some, you know, some ideas to work with. Right? You could see this as well in the life of a coworker who's struggling, you know, and maybe, you know, has had bad experiences with Christians in the past, so is not open to you praying for them. Okay? God, how do I create an atmosphere of faith around them that's going to attract your presence? That's what Mary did. She said to the servants, whatever He says to you, do it. Okay? And so I think that's a huge thing that we need to keep in mind when we feel helpless about a situation. I don't believe that we're always going to be helpless. There are times when we are, when somebody just doesn't want to hear from you, doesn't want to be touched. So you just kind of have to step back, pray, and trust God. But there's other circumstances where, yeah, I can begin to prepare a landing place for the presence of God in this person's life. Maybe just by continuing to encourage them, continuing to love them, even when they're cranky and mean to me, you know, moving in an opposite spirit to what they're projecting because of the thing that they're going through. You know, all these kind of things give the Lord freedom to do in that person's life what's necessary to bring them into freedom, right? So that's what Mary did. And then, so Jesus, I guess at that point, he got the message. Okay? We're gonna take care of the wine problem. So he sees these water pots, right? Can you imagine 120 gallons of wine? Maybe even 180 gallons of wine, because it says 20 or 30 gallons per, right? So he tells the servants what to do. Fill the water pots with water. And you know what I love about these servants? Not only did they fill it, but what did they do, Rose?
They drew.
No, before they even did that.
They were, first off, they were obedient to what you said.
Right, exactly.
And I'm wondering, how did she know them? They were like, okay, we trust. Mary said do it. Mary said do whatever he said. So they had to, like, trust Mary too.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Because they were like, okay, we're
going to
do what he says, but it's on her so-say.
On her say-so, exactly, right? That's cool. But what I love about these servants, right, they didn't just fill the water pots. They filled them to the brim.
Yeah.
They wanted some of that wine.
Well, I don't think they knew what Jesus was about to do, but what I love about it is that they were expecting the most.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, think about it. Here's Jesus telling these guys to fill the water pots with water. Like, water? What the heck? They just maybe pouring a little water in there and say, okay, it's... Right? But they didn't do that.
Yeah.
They recognized that there's something going on here.
Right.
And I'm going to set my expectations high.
Right.
It reminds me of the story of this king... I don't know who it was Hezekiah or one of these guys, right? And the prophet came to him and gave him some arrows and said, strike the ground with the arrows. Remember that story?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, bless you. It was great to have you tonight.
Bless you.
We'll see you next time.
Bless you.
And he took the arrows and he struck the ground only three times. Right? And the prophet said, if you had only struck it five or six times, you would have had complete victory over all your enemies. Now, you're going to have three small victories, and the nation of Israel is going to be defeated after you're gone. In other words, of course, if you don't know, you're being tested. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, can I get a do-over? I'm going to do it again. I'll hit it, you know, 10 times. Right? But you can't. You know, God doesn't give you do-overs like that. He does give you other opportunities to learn, because we're now under the new covenant.
Right.
Thank
you,
Jesus. Okay? But in those circumstances, if we're not expecting the most, and when our ability to believe God is limited in some way, then it limits Him.
Yeah.
Right? If they hadn't filled it up to the brim, then there wouldn't have been as much wine created. There was a consequence if they didn't do the whole thing. If they weren't totally willing to go the whole route with, you know, filling up that thing to the brim, right? So they do, and then Jesus says to them, okay, take some out and bring it to the headmaster. When did the water turn to wine? That's my question. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. John records that the servants knew where the wine came from. So, did it turn to all the in the wine in the thing, or did it turn as they took it out? I don't know.
Right.
I lean towards that, because that's how he multiplied the food.
Right.
You know, he multiplied the food in the hands of the disciples. He just simply broke it up to them, say, now you go feed the people. And as they broke off the pieces, the miracle occurred in their hands.
Yeah.
So I kind of lean toward that as they took it out, it became wine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the Lord doesn't waste anything.
He
said, pick up the pieces left over. Mm-hmm. The one time there were 12 baskets, the other time there were 7 baskets. He doesn't waste. But you know what? He always makes more than enough.
Yeah.
He's abundant.
Right? I mean, come on. Who needs 120 gallons of water?
Yeah, oh my gosh, yeah.
It's just amazing. I don't know what's going on with the lights, but we're having a light show. I don't know why. It's just, right? So.
What version are you using on the Bible?
This? Oh, this is the New American Standard.
Okay, that's an app on your phone.
Oh, the app is YouVersion, that's what it is, yeah.
YouVersion.
Yeah, YouVersion.
Bible.
Yep. So, what I really wanted to encourage you guys about, right, was that Mary's response to this situation, right, it's like she took responsibility to paint a target on the situation. Mm-hmm. And that just blows me away. If I see a situation that I know the Lord could be concerned about, but I'm not seeing anything yet, but yet just something in my heart goes, I know this is not right. Mm-hmm. Okay? I can take responsibility to paint a target on that situation. Okay? Last week we talked about God painting a target. Well, tonight, we're seeing how it's possible for us to paint a target. Now, you may say to yourself, well, how could God ever trust me to paint a target on a situation? Who do I think I am that I could paint a target on a situation? Well, you just happen to be a son and daughter of the Most High, who carries His DNA, carries His heart, anointed with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is living in you. So I'm saying to you tonight that if you see a situation that disturbs you or stirs you up in some way, that you look at and you go, what's up with that? That's not right. The reason why you feel that way is because God is inviting you into that partnership with Him, where he's saying to you, you could paint a target there.
Amen.
You could. You could paint a target right there and begin to act in faith, begin to declare over that situation. Because that's really what Mary did. She made a declaration to the servants. Whatever He tells you to do,
you do it.
And so,
she took authority too. Authority.
Yeah, exactly. She used her authority to rectify a situation that she felt in her spirit was wrong. That shouldn't be like this. It's just wrong. This is a wedding. People are here to celebrate this wonderful occasion. You know? And you're
bonehead. She had faith in Him that He could do it.
Right. Sure. And your bonehead disciples drank all the wine. We got to fix this thing. You know? And so that to me is the great encouragement of this particular story, is that we're given that privilege, you know, to see things and realize that if it bothers me, it must be bothering Him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that I can do something about it now, right? And some things require more than just me getting stirred up. There are things that require a unity to get fashioned, right? And one of the things that we've been called to, one of the prophetic responsibilities that we've been called to here is corporate declarations. And that God wants to begin to release to us things that we would declare over the region. Mm-hmm. That He wants to see happen. And so as we move forward, we're going to begin to press into that. Where He highlights something, or we are seeing something that we know God doesn't want to continue. So, okay, God, what do you want us to do? How do we start to paint a target on that? Mm-hmm. And I believe it starts in the realm of speaking declarations over that. That's just one of the ways that you can start, you know, when you're talking about bigger issues. So that's something we're going to move forward into. Okay? Now, I'm going to share one last thing with you guys about this, because this is, this is kind of a separate issue. But as I studied this thing many, many years ago, God showed me a prophetic element in this that just blew my mind. Right? When he brought the wine to the head waiter drinks it, says, "This is amazing. This is the best wine." Right? I did a little word study. And in the Greek, I love the Greek because it's so picturesque. And the word for head waiter or headmaster is one of the most amazing words I've ever seen. It means, you know, they translate it to mean master of tables. Mm-hmm. Okay? But when you analyze the Greek word itself and break down, you know, the different parts, you know what it really means? Mm-hmm. It means a room with three couches.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the word literally means. A room with three couches. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about this and say, God, what are you showing me here? What does this mean? And he began to open up to me the prophetic symbolism. What does the number six represent?
Human. Humanity.
The number of man. Okay? So we have six water pots filled with water. Mm-hmm. Right? What did Jesus say is necessary for us to come into the kingdom? You've got to be born of
water and spirit.
And the spirit. Exactly. So these water pots represent us. They represent humanity. Born of water. But guess what? There's no wine there. Right? Jesus, when he was about to be crucified, he took the wine, he took the bread, mm-hmm. and they shared it. Said, "This wine is the new covenant in my blood." What does the wine actually represent? People think, "Oh, it's his blood."
Holy Spirit.
It's his spirit, but it's the access that we have into the very throne room, the presence of God. Because you look in Hebrews and it says he made a new and living way through his own body by the blood. Right? The veil. His body was the veil and it was torn. So that we now have... And so when Jesus talked about new wine, he was talking about the very presence of God in the midst of us. So we have this awesome prophetic picture of the water pots filled with water representing us born naturally, but now being transformed into containers of his presence. Now, what does the headmaster refer to? The headmaster represents the free will that every single one of us has. Okay? Because he's the one that's in, he's like the maitre d' of the party, right? He's in charge. Make sure the food is out there, the drinks are out, everything's nice. He's in charge. Okay? And so, what is he in charge of? He's in charge of a room with three couches. What does a couch represent? Think about it. Rest, exactly. What do you do on a couch? Right? You're chilling on the couch. And so what the Lord showed me was that this was a prophetic symbol of how he brings us into this relationship with him and says, "Will you allow me to rest in your spirit, soul, and body? Will you allow me to transform you by resting in every aspect of your being?" I was like, what? I mean, it just blew me away that the Lord could contain that revelation, you know, in that aspect of this incident. And he wasn't telling a parable. He was demonstrating it. He was living it, right? Unbelievable stuff. So,
is it called a parable?
No, this is an actual incident that occurred, you know, in the ministry of Jesus, in Cana.
It's documented.
So, it's absolutely, it's in the Bible.
By John.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So any thoughts, questions on that? Cool. Well, Father, we just thank you that we are invited into this process, Lord, to paint targets on situations and people. Thank you that you do that, and you've invited us to join you in the process. And that you actually do trust us, Lord, to care about things, knowing that the things that we care about, we only can care about them because you have put them there. You've made us in such a way that we care about stuff. So I just thank you for that, Lord. I pray that you will lead us in these weeks and months ahead to partner with you in painting targets, Lord God, through declarations, through other means, Father, just whatever. We long for you to lead us in these areas to do things that go way beyond what we could have ever imagined. Just all for your glory. In Jesus' name.